हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तं स्वस्तिनो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ओम शांति शांति शांति। सो इन सीरीज ऑफ उपनिषद्स even though people start with the Ishavasya Upanishad in tradition, and Pujya Swamiji makes it a point to start teaching Mundaka Upanishad first. Of the 10 Upanishads, Shankara had written commentary, Mundaka Upanishad is one of them, but simple commentary and a very simple Upanishad. So Swamiji starts Mundaka Upanishad. So we are also seeing Mundaka Upanishad now, and we have come to the second section of the first Mundaka, Dvitiya Khanda, the second Mundaka. The first Mundaka, second chapter actually. And here the karma is elaborated. We may think we don't need karma. Why should we know this? All these things. Nothing. We are not going to benefit much from this, the portion. We may think. But for us to have an idea, to have the core vision of the entire Veda Shastram, to have understanding, even karma portion is discussed as part of the Upanishad. And previously it was said, if a person has to become disciplined minded, if we have to have adequate qualification, preparedness, if we have to become mentally pure and steady, without which self-knowledge is impossible. Sometimes people come and say, we've been studying for a long time, but we do not experience anything. We don't seem to be benefiting from the knowledge. Why this complaint? It is not because of the limitation of the Shastra. It's not because of the limitation of anything. It is because of lack of our preparedness. Shastra study should definitely, must, will bless one with vision. And if we do not enjoy the benefit of the teaching, it is not the problem with the Shastram. It is problem with our preparation. It is problem with our mind. We have to take care of our mind to enjoy the benefit of the teaching. That is why this mental preparation is not an easy joke. It needs a lot of attention and strain. That is why Shastra prescribes the very way of life itself. The whole way of life. How we do our lives, how we live our lives, how do we karma, with what attitude we perform, how we see the situations which come in our lives, how committed we are to be dharma, how we know the value of values in the context of jnanam and moksha. So that's how we can tap Bhagavan's grace even to have the mental preparedness that to be able to enjoy the benefit of the teaching. So without Shastra study, definitely jnanam is not possible. But Shastra study without taking into account, without paying attention to our preparing mental condition, also will not be of any use. Therefore, that's why Shastra has prescribed the very way of life. Do all your duties. Do whatever you need to do to take care of your biological needs. You have to eat up to appease your hunger, you have to drink to quench your thirst, you have to take care of your natural calls, and you have to earn your livelihood. So do all your duties, do everything you need to do with proper attitude, so that every karma you do, every action you do, every small thing you do should contribute tremendously for your mental preparedness to enjoy the benefit of the teaching. So taking care of our mind is so important. How I look after my mind. And one of the ways of disciplining the mind, taking care of our mind, is of course dharma, living a life of values is emphasized. Also being conscious of Bhagavan, which means being worshipful and prayerful. It means living as a religious person. Being religious means being worshipful and prayerful. So as a spiritual aspirant, how we are also religious, worshipful and prayerful. For which how we do our duties and other activities. Very important. So here, to emphasize that fact that how one has to be worshipful and prayerful, this Upanishad very, very briefly presents some karma, discusses the topic of karma very briefly. So we saw in the previous mantra, the author said, Tani acharata, may you perform those rituals. Yani rishayaha apashyan tretayam. So those karmas which have been prescribed in the karma kanda of the Veda were revealed to the rishis, may you perform them. Anyatha, we saw that very important verse, mantra we saw. And I said, even though we cannot do all those karmas prescribed in the karma kanda, so the substitute for those karmas is following panchamaha yajnas. Panchamaha yajnas I briefly mentioned. That's enough. We will see again later on. But now we're continuing. There is another, let us see the mantra, first mantra, last class what we saw, then we go to next mantra.
Tadetat satyam mantreshu karmani kavayaha yanya pashyan tanitretayam bahudha santatani tanya charataniyatam satyakamaha yeshavuh pantha sukrutasya loke.
I'm repeating.
Tadetat satyam mantreshu karmani kavayaha yanya pashyan tanitretayam bahudha santatani tanya charathaniyatam satyakamaha yeshavah pantha sukrutasya loke. Yeshaha vaha panthaha sukrutasya loke. For, see, being mentally disciplined implies having earned Bhagavan's grace. Having earned Bhagavan's grace implies having earned punyam. And having earned punyam implies also being worshipful and prayerful. This is the only way you can earn punyam. Yeshaha vaha panthaha. Now, the next mantra is interesting mantra. It presents the basic ritual which has to be performed by every married individual of Vedic times. Immediately the question may come, oh, should we perform this ritual? How to perform this ritual? If I do not perform, I will get moksha or not? All these questions, doubts may come. We don't need to perform. We cannot even perform. But definitely, we can understand what this ritual is all about. Of all the rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda, there's so many rituals. We saw so many karmas. Vihita karma, avihita karma, patishuddha karma, nitya karma, naimittika karma, kamya karma, paischitta karma, like so many karmas. And all the rituals prescribed in the karma kanda, biggest of the rituals is Ashwamedha Yagaha, which we cannot see somebody performing it. Only those days kings used to perform Ashwamedha Yaga. Biggest ritual.
which was discussed elaborately in Ramayana, which we started seeing how they brought Rishyasringa Rishi to perform Ashwamedha Yaga as the biggest of the rituals. And what is the tiniest, the smallest of the rituals in Veda? In between, we do not know. Okay. What is smallest of the rituals? That is called Nitya Agnihotra Yajnaha. Nitya Agnihotra Yajnaha. The smallest ritual is Nitya Agnihotra Yajnaha. Biggest is Ashwamedha Yagaha. And in between, we have so many small. Now the biggest, like that, so many rituals. And that the smallest of the ritual, which is called Nitya Agnihotra Yajna, is to be performed by every householder, a married person. He's supposed to start performing Agnihotra Karma from day one he gets married. Until a person gets married, he is not eligible to perform Nitya Agnihotra. And it is a daily worship of Vedic times. See how every day we get up in the morning, first we have shabad, then immediately we light the lamp, pray, and then we go to kitchen to cook, then the whole day begins, whole day activities begin. Then we work at home like that. But those days, Nitya Puja, the Deva Yajnaha means Nitya Puja, means every day, first thing you begin your day with the worship. Then you go and do the whole day, you do your mundane activities. But it begins with the Bhagavan's worship. And for which, in Vedic times, a form of worship was actually performance of the Nitya Agnihotra. Nitya Puja, it's actually a Nitya Puja of Vedic times was performing this Agnihotra, Nitya Agnihotra Hova. Like how we casually light the lamp and pray every day, light the candle and worship. Like that, they have to, in the Vedic period, those who get married, from the day one they get married, they're eligible to perform Nitya Agnihotram, and they start performing Nitya Agnihotra Karma. The very expression of Nityam is what? There's no day it should be stopped. Every day. And how many times? Twice a day. Morning once, evening once. One must perform this ritual. Called Nitya Agnihotra Homaha. It's a form of worship. Just to be thankful to Bhagavan for all the basic needs, food, shelter and clothing for being, for blessed with all that we need for life. So we as the token of gratitude, expression of gratitude, we worship the Lord, and the worship was in the form of performance of rituals. Especially this Nitya Agnihotram is a compulsory worship, the ritual. It was followed by all householders. As long as a person is a brahmachari, he is not eligible to perform Nitya Agnihotra Karma. Okay. Let me see. That is here how Nitya Agnihotram should be performed is mentioned here. After studying this, we are not expected to perform this ritual, but we should know how Agnihotram is performed. All the mantras are not mentioned, nothing is mentioned, just a briefest mention of how Agnihotram is performed. As I said, on the day of marriage, after the marriage, the man is expected to perform this. Then he should continue his whole life. And it is kept, the fire used for this Agnihotra Karma is kept alive the whole day. So that's why those days, people who perform Agnihotra Karma,
who were known as Nityagnihotrinaha. Agnihotri was a Brahmin surname also. And in fact, that person, wherever he goes, he come back to his house. He cannot stay away because he has to come back and he cannot stop it. He cannot stop it. That's the lifestyle in India. Simple and worshipful, you know, lifestyle. And that fire has to be kept alive. Every day they'll kindle the same fire, they'll put on the ritual, again the fire will be kept alive. The fire will not be put off. There'll be, that flame will be there. Even though the flames may not be seen, but the fire is kept alive, hot. And that, from that fire alone, when a person dies also, the performer of Agnihotra, when he dies, from that alone, the fire is taken to cremate that body. Nowadays, we have electric crematorium. Most hygienic, because there's no way. Press button, the whole body becomes ashes in no time. Those days, they have to take the fire from here, and the body is offered to the body is offered to the fire. The Agnihotram comes to an end. Let's see those days. So, all extra information for you. Okay, let us read the mantra. As I said, this portion you do not benefit much for your jnanam, but still to understand the significance of worship, this will be very helpful. Even though we are not expected to follow these rituals. Okay. Because suddenly the mantra presence. Oh. What presence is mantra? The presence of mantra where how ritual should be done. So this is why I want to give you the basic understanding. Look at the mantra now. Yada lela yate hyarchihi. Yada lelayate hyarchihi samiddhe havyavahane samiddhe havyavahane tadajya bhagavantarena ahutihi pratipadayet. Repeat it. Yada lelayate hyarchihi samiddhe havyavahane tadajya bhagavantarena ahutihi pratipadayet. Yada lelayate hyarchihi samiddhe havyavahane tadajya bhagavantarena ahutihi pratipadayet. So the performer of Agnihotram ritual is called Agnihotri, Nityagnihotri. As I said, it's a compulsory daily ritual for a married man. And how does he perform it? It says, one must have, first of all, a fireplace. A fireplace is actually where the ritual is performed. In fact, to perform a ritual, as prescribed in the Karma Kanda, even the shape of the place, the shape of the kundas. Kunda means actually the specific place where they make certain shapes. There may be rectangular, triangular, circular, semicircular, and a star-like. The different types of Agni Kundas are there. That for this Agni Kunda, it's not mentioned, but we add information from other explanations. We have to, the person has Agni Kunda, which is called
which must have three angles. So this person offers oblations. So, but how should, before offering oblations, there must be fire. The fire must be, should not, when you offer oblations, it must burn. It should not be very smoky. So that they mentions here, ahutihi means oblations, objective case, plural. Ahutihi, ahutayaha, ahutim, ahuti, ahutihi. Objective plural is what? Ahutihi. Ahutim singular. Ahuti dual. Ahutihi plural objective case. Ahutihi oblations. Ahutihi is a feminine gender word. Ikarantaha strilingaha ahuti shabdaha. And ahutihi oblations, objective plural. So pratipadayet, prati prefix, pad is the root and padayeti is causative verb. So pratipadayeti, here pratipadayeti is pratipadayet, is a ling form. It's a potential mood verb. Pratipadayeti lat. Pratipadayet is what? Ling. Pidiling. So may one offer. One must offer. One should offer. You want to say? Pratipadayet. What should one offer? Oblations. May one offer oblations. Ahutihi pratipadayet, may a person offer, subject is understood, may a person offer oblations. Ahutihi pratipadayet. Why? That's the Nitya Agnihotram. One must worship Bhagwan every day. Therefore, Nitya Agnihotram. We have substitute now, okay? That then we'll see, discuss later on that one. So, ahutihi pratipadayet. Kaha, may everyone, that's why, may a person offer, one must offer oblations. It means a should, it means must, it must, may one offer. Ahutihi patipadayet. But when should he offer? Kada patipadayet ahutihi. He says, yada lelayate hyachihi. Yada, when, kada pratipadayet, when should a person offer oblations? Not simply putting it, with a great shraddha a person must offer. You can't, see, when you do puja, when you worship, when you do japam, you must have tremendous amount of shraddha in what you are doing. Knowing the value of what you are doing, especially you want, it's an effort to place your mind in Bhagavan, to be in association with Bhagavan. Effort must be with Shraddha. So, when should a person offer oblations? Kada ahutihi pratipadayet. Subject is understood, implied here. Okay. When should a person offer oblations? Kada. Yada lelayate. Yada lelayate. See, lelayate is another verb. So, one verb. It's not a root formed verb. Some verbs are like that. Taken. So, yada lelayate. When lelayate means, you know, move about. Lelayate means move about. Or moves about. When moves about, then one should offer oblations. What should move about? Archihi. You break the word he, indeed. He plus archihi becomes hyarchihi. Yan sandhi there. He, archihi, hyarchihi.
So Archihi is a Ikaranta Strilinga Shabda. The feminine under word Archihi means flame. Remember, so many words we have for flame. One of the words is what? Archihi, flame. So when the fire is kindled, Archihi Yada Lelayate, when a flame moves about. A flame rises and flame comes, and the flame is strong enough to move about. When the flame moves about, Yada Hi Archihi Lelayate, Tada Ahutihi Patipadaye. First kindle the fire. When the flame is not there, then you do not offer oblations. When the flame comes, and not simply flame is there, flame also starts moving about. Yada Archihi Lelayate, which means oblations can get burnt well. Then Tada Ahutihi Patipadayet. Okay. That is said. But where should you offer the oblations? Kada Patipadayet Yada Archihi Lelayate Tada Ahutihi Patipadayet. But where should he? When should he offer? You understood. Where should he offer? Before that, one more thing. Samidhe Havyavahane. So if the flame has to be powerful, strong, it has to move about, then fire must be, kindled, well kindled. So Havyavahanaha means fire. Havihi vahati iti havyavahanaha. Havish. The word havish also means oblation. Ahutihi means oblation. Havish also means oblation. So havyavahanaha means carrier of oblations. Fire is said to be the mouth of devas. Fire is said to be the carrier of oblations. Havishvahati iti havyavahanaha. When you offer oblations into the fire, to whichever devata we offer oblations, fire alone takes the oblations to Vayuhu, Indraha, Chandraha, Suryaha, Akash, any devata. Whichever devata you offer oblations to, all the devatas, fire alone, fire is like a postman. Fire takes the oblations to different devatas. Whichever is the homa. Therefore, fire is called Havyavahanaha. Outside of Vedic context, you cannot understand the meaning. Why fire is called Havyavahana? Is any specific name? Yes. Only in Vedic context you can understand carrier of oblations. So, Havyavahane is what? Locative case. Havyavahanaha, Havyavahanam, Havyavahanena, Havyavahanaya, Havyavahana, Havyavahanasya, Havyavahane. Okay? The fire, Havyavahane, Samidhe, Iddha, past participle. Past passive participle, Iddha means kindled. Samiddha, well kindled. Samiddha Havyavahanaha, well kindled fire. And Samidhe Havyavahane, Sati Saptami, locative case is used. When the fire is well kindled, only then flames will come and move about. When the flame moves about, then one should offer oblations into the fire. So, yada havyavahane samiddhe, or samiddhe havyavahane means what? When the fire is kindled well, seventh case is used to mean when. Okay, when the fire is kindled well, then when the flame moves about, then one should offer oblations. Tada ahutihi pratipadaye. Samiddheha vyavahane. Both words are in locative case. Samiddha is adjective of fire. Havyavahana. Therefore, that's also in locative case. We saw last class. Viseshnane, viseshyane. So, adjective agrees with the noun in number, gender and case form. But samiddha havyavahana. Samiddheha vyavahane. And the fire is kindled well. Tada hi archihi lelayate. Yada archihi hi lelayate. When the fire, the flame of the fire moves about. Tada ahutihi pratipadayet. So when we should offer oblation is clear. But where should it be offered? That is said in the next line. Tada, then, ajyabhaga antarena. Ajyabhaga antarena. Ajyabhaga. See, the word ajyam means ghee. In different context, the word ajyam means ghee. Ghee means the butter is melted in sun, it is called ajyam. We all melt the butter on fire to make ghee. Okay, clarified butter. We melt on fire, then we call it a ghritam, which we use for cooking and eating. But this ghee melted in sunlight. So you have to come to India or to go to some tropical country to melt it. Because isn't it? You have to wait for September, August, otherwise. I don't know how the climate is there. It's all Indian tropical. I was wondering how Kashmir Pandits would have been performing rituals, because Kashmir is like UK only. Anyway, but there are great Pandits. All Kashmiri Pandits are. Kashmir also is highly strong place of Vedika Dharma. So it's, again, we are happy that we have got it back. Already it is ours. Now it's, again, we make it, we have much stronger roots now. So here, samidde havya vahane, yada hi archihi lelayate. Then what do we do here? Ajya bhago antarena. Ajya literally means fire melt, ghee melted in, butter melted in sunlight. But here, ajya bhagaha means the fire kunda has right side and left side. When you sit and offer oblations, there will be right side and left side. Antarena, in between, you do not go to the extreme of one side and not to this side. In both sides, ajya bhagaha means the right side and the left side of the Agrikunda is called Ajyabhagau. Ajyabhagaha means right side and left side of the Agrikunda is called, okay, the Ajyabhagau, two sides of the Kunda. Instead of putting it in one end or one extreme end, in between both, in between the middle of the Agrikunda, Ajyabhagau antarena. Antarena in the middle. Ajyabhagau antarena. In the middle of the Agnikunda. Avoiding the both sides. In the middle of the Agnikunda, one should offer oblations. What is that? It's a kindergarten verse. Nothing much is said here. Okay. So, yada archihi lelayate samidde havyavahane. It's like, yeah, so samidde havyavahane yada archihi hi lelayate tada then ajya bhagau antarena, leaving the avoiding the extreme ends, and in the middle of the Agrikunda, may one offer oblations. This much alone is the meaning of the mantra. So we had, what do we understand? What should we learn from here? Is that one should not do any ritual carelessly. Shraddha one must do. And we know very well, this offering itself, offering oblations to any devata means any natural phenomenon, through the fire alone we offer. That's why he's called Havya Vahanaha. And when, that's why it is, people have that very notion that it's all, everything is wasted in fire, everything gets burnt. It's a lot of wrong understanding people have. When we are blessed with abundance of food, abundance of everything, and a little bit sharing, the attitude is very important, significance is very important, and how this offering of oblations produces the result, the mechanism definitely is not, chemist not well understood. Nobody knows. That's why it's a jnana. You do a ritual and some result you get. What is the connection? How it works? Those things are always mystery. That's why Veda, who performed, who enjoyed the benefits, and they know it is amazing treasure house of knowledge. Not only, of course, moksha, jnanam, ultimately what you want is the knowledge of the truth, where you resolve your identity, where you attain moksha, where really the problems are resolved objectively. That is the ultimate thing. But even before that, even to live this life, to enjoy anything, to have any desire fulfilled also, Prartha, Kama, Dharma and Moksha, all pursuits, Veda has information, Veda has knowledge. That's why it's a jnana. Veda itself means some knowledge, isn't it? So here we have this simple, this is the literal meaning. Now you can understand this. Samidhe havyavahane yada archihi hi lelihyate lelayate tada ajya bhagau antarena ahutihi pratipadayet. This is how every day one should offer oblations. But what is the oblation? What is the mantra one should recite? Those things are not mentioned. But generally, they say, a married man, of course, Gayatri mantra, a person chants from seventh year onwards, being initiated into the Gayatri mantra, a person is supposed to chant. I mean, he is supposed to do the Gayatri mantra japa every day 3 times, morning, okay, dawn, and afternoon, noon, and dusk, evening, dusk. So, dawn, noon, and dusk, 3 times a day, 3 meeting points of the day. That's why sandhya kalaha, 3 kala sandhya vandanam, 3 times when there's a meeting of night and day, then meeting of forenoon and afternoon, then meeting of afternoon, the night, evening and night. The 3 sandhya kala, 6 a.m. in the morning, 6 p.m. in the evening, and afternoon time was very auspicious time. That's why we always said that time we will not comb our hair, that time we will not eat food, and that time we will not remain dirty. We should keep ourselves clean, light the lamp and pray. That's the time. Those evening times, if anybody has really any confusions, the evening time, wash your face, have tilak and light the lamp and do japam, very auspicious. In fact, elders will scold us if we do something else that time. We should be sleeping that time very bad, they say. We shouldn't be doing, that is, so that's how it is. Anyway, so we perform this Gayatri Mantra Japa. A child is supposed to start from the age of 7 after he is initiated into Upanayana, the study. But then
from the time of marriage, a person should do Agnihotra Karma. He must also do Gayatri Japa. Along with it, he should do that also. 3 times a day. But in Nityagnihotra, he performs definitely morning and evening. He only said how a person does it. Simply it's mentioned. And when a person performs Nityagnihotram also, he definitely has, it is good for Antakkarana Shuddhi, Antakkarana Naishchalyam, because it's a thoughtful and expression of one's reverence to Bhagavan for all that we are blessed with. And even with the Purushartha Nischaya, the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge for Antakkarana Shuddhi, when the person performs this ritual and the same ritual becomes Nishkama Karma also, definitely he will have Nityagnihotri will have every day doing it, will have Brahma Varchas. They also say that. Okay, now but certain names are given. So when the person first he performs the ritual after marriage, and he performs the ritual, then he maintains that ritual fire from the house, in the house always. That fire which is maintained regularly, continuously from day one, from the day of marriage, until his last breath, he must maintain that fire. Then his son or somebody in the family should take it over. So it continues. And therefore it always remains at home. Therefore, that fire is called Garhapatya Agnihi. Why Garhapatya Agnihi? Grihasya Patihi. Grihasya Patihi means the lord of the family. The lord, head of the family, lord of the house, is father or grandfather, then son. They maintain. The lord of the family, Grihapatihi, and he performs the ritual. And he maintains also. When Bhagavan is the Grihapati for us, for every family, Lord is the Lord, only Lord. So Grihapati, therefore, the fire which is maintained by the head of the family is man of the family, man alone performs Agnihotra Karma. But a woman does not need to perform, but man becomes qualified to perform only if he has a wife. That is where wife's importance comes, okay? Wife cannot perform, need not perform, but man cannot perform without a wife, which means without getting married. That's why even in temples, the priests who are working as priests must be married people. Karmakandi means he must be a grihasthashram. A sannyasi cannot become a priest. A brahmachari who is not yet married cannot be the priest. Even to wear the veshti, He can wear panchakacham only if he is married. Otherwise, he has to simply just wear like that. The rules and regulations. Anyway, that's all secondary important, but still I want to share those information with you along with these things. Now, so Garhapatyagnihi means the fire which has been maintained continuously without putting it off by Grihapatihi is called Garhapatyagnihi. And from this alone, the fire is taken for this one, Ahavaniyagnihi. The fire which is kindled every day is called Ahavaniyagnihi. And what is the benefit? See, daily worship at home, daily lighting the lamp in morning and evening, dawn, noon and dusk. Actually, noon also we include Katrikal Sandhya. But at least, even if not noon, morning and evening, dawn and dusk, will definitely strongly in Vedic cultures believe all negative things will be removed. Yeah, the fear, anxiety, even the nightmares, all this starts all because of confusions in the mind. Either because of new confusions or the old confusions or our own unnecessary thinking, And sometimes we think too much unnecessarily, and we also speculate a lot. All these things contribute for mental cobwebs. So to ward off all the negative things and the fear, unwanted things, it's called Mangalam. Sumangalam Shubham is always lighting the fire, lighting the lamp. Nowadays we light the lamp, which is substitute. So when our Garhapatya Agni is maintained, that house has protection, like a shield, having a shield. It is like how we have to keep the hedge or fencing outside to the garden to get, protect the plants from the cattle. And here having Garhapatya Agni in the house is like having a big protection from everything. All negative things, or even people come with different thinking, different thoughts. So wrong thinking and all negative things. It will protect itself. Therefore, Garhapatya Agni, having the Garhapatya Agni at home means what? Anitya Agni, a person is Nitya Agnihotri. He worships Bhagavan every day through the performance of Nitya Agnihotram. And he maintains that fire in the house, Garhapatya Agni is there, means protection. This house is well protected. All of them well protected. That's the idea. Anyway. That's why nowadays we have substitute is lighting the lamp. We have that. Now, even today we have that lighting the lamp. Again, specifically asking for, yeah. Okay. And the present days, we are not eligible. We cannot do this Nitya Agnihotra karma. What should we do now? In this context, you light the candle or light lamp, then we do our japa in the mornings, in the evenings, afternoons, if possible. Then we do our prayers and chanting, mantras, even shastras, pancha maha yajna. Substitute for all these, not being able to perform any ritual, Vedic ritual properly because we do not know. Substitute is what? Following Panchamaha Yajnas. Study Shastram, pray, worship, chant, do a japam. Japam is the best discipline. Okay, now we'll go to the next mantra. Yasyagnihotram Adashamapurnamasam. Yasyagnihotram adarshamapurnamasam achaturmasyam anagrayanam atiti varjitancha ahutam avaishvadevam avidhinahutam asaptamasam sasya lokan hinasti. Having just introduced the mantra, introduced the ritual in a small mantra, very brief information was given. Now in this mantra, if a ritual is not performed properly, what will be the consequence? The consequence of not properly performing a ritual is mentioned in this mantra, which means luckily, fortunately, we are not, unfortunately, fortunately, we are not performing rituals, or we don't need to worry about it. But definitely we must have substitute for this, which is japaha and following panchamaha yajnas, where all the dharmas are taken into account. There is deva yajna, manushya yajna, pitru yajna. Everything is taken care of. Perfect. There no ill effect. But this performance of ritual, if it is not properly performed, there will be consequence. Why consequence is mentioned? Very frightening. Not really to frighten us, but to make us have shraddha in what we are doing. See, definitely this consequence is not really, it is more exaggeration. this consequence will not be there. But it is mentioned still just to make us have Shraddha in what we are doing. So that our ritual will not be a waste of time, energy and money. If it has to be productive, effective, contributive and constructive, definitely we must do any japa with Shraddha. Any puja we should do with Shraddha. Just to make us have Shraddha, it is emphasized. It is mentioned the consequence of not performing properly. So not performing properly means what? To understand from this mantra. Let us see. I'm going to break the mantra first, okay? Words. Yasyagnihotram adarsham apaurnamasam. First quarter of the mantra. Or first half of the first line. Yasya agnihotram. Yasya agnihotram. Yasya agnihotram. Adarsham apaurnamasam. Yasya agnihotram. Achaturmasyam. Achaturmasyam. Yasya agnihotram. Anagrayanam. Yasya agnihotram atithi varjitam cha. Yasya agnihotram ahutam. Yasya agnihotram avaishvadevam. Yasya agnihotram avidhinahutam. Tasya. For that person. Asattaman. Asattaman lokan hinasti. Tasya is in between. Asattaman lokan hinasti. Yasya tasya. So, yasya is what relative pronoun? You know that very well. Possessive case form of yaha. Dakarantaha yadshab, pullingaha yadshabdaha, in nominative yaha, possessive is yasya. So yasya, the person whose agnihotram, yasya agnihotram, whose performance of agnihotram is devoid of many things. Adarsham apaurnamasam. There is a particular, see, always Shastra class in Bhagavad Gita, Pujya Swamiji emphasizes, without living a life of values, whatever you worship also, it has some punyam, but still it will not be effective. Dharma is emphasized. Like that, there is other, many other forms, many other rituals. There are other pujas, worship. There is a particular worship puja done on an Amavasya day. Amavasya means new moon day. New moon means dark moon day. After Chaturdashi, then with Krishna Paksha we have what? New moon. New moon means dark moon. The day of dark moon, the dark moon day is a tithi. That date is called Amavasya. A special ritual is to be done on Amavasya. When married people, otherwise also, Amavasya day, now we should remember, we have supposed to worship our departed souls. Every new moon day, we used to perform tarpanam, means satisfying the departed ancestors. So if parents are alive, okay, not there, whoever has departed from the family, on Amavasya day can think of them, light the lamp and offer something to grains, to birds, something like that. There's a particular ritual done. But darsham, darsham means
is a name of a special ritual performed on a new moon day. And Purnamasam is a special ritual performed on a full moon day. We have a different ritual performed on a full moon day and a new moon day. So Darsha Purnamasam means two different rituals performed on new moon and full moon. So Adarsham means a person who, if you want to enjoy the benefit of Agnihotram, you must be worshipping Bhagavan on new moon day specially. Okay, along with that, so the Agnihotram without performing the ritual called Darsham on new moon day, a person simply performs only Agnihotram, then his Agnihotram will not be very effective. Similarly, other Apurnamasam, Purnamasam means a ritual to be performed on a full moon day without worshipping, especially on full moon day, you simply do your Nityagnihotram, then that will not be effective. It won't be very effective. So Adarsham means devoid of Nityagnihotram, devoid of the ritual performed on new moon day. Apurnamasam, the Nityagnihotram performed without performing the ritual on full moon day. That's why if your japam has to be effective, then do more japa, especially on full moon. I always mention, oh, today is a very auspicious day, do this. They're always doing. But especially do on full moon, on new moon, all these special days I mention sometimes. If I remember, I mentioned this. I do, but I tell people also. Why? To make your nitya regular japa to be effective, on special days you do more of the japa. So like that here, this Agnihotram, Yasya Agnihotram, the person whose Agnihotra ritual is devoid of other rituals performed on full moon and new moon. Adarsham Apurnamasam, Apurnamasam will not be effective. Then one more thing, now he says, Adarsham Apurnamasam Agnihotram. So Adarsham Apurnamasam are adjectives for Agnihotram. Agnihotram without Darsha Puja, without Purnamasa Puja, ritual. Yasya Agnihotram Adarsham Apurnamasam. Next, Achaturmasyam. See, Chaturmasya Vratam is very special. The 4 months in a year, monsoon time, the sadhus do not travel. Parivrajakas, sannyasis go from one place to the other. But those 4 months, rainy seasons, because they had to go walking everywhere those days, okay, from village to village. So they remain in one place for 4 months. Again, 4 months, rains, monsoons, there'll be worms on the road. So to avoid a lot of things, they stay in one place and they follow their regular pujas. Called Chaturmasya Vratam, 4 months a year. So the person, those 4 months, every grihastha is also supposed to have his own specific pujas, specific rituals. So Achaturmasyam Agnihotram is not simply, oh, only Agnihotram, very easy, let me do. No. Agnihotram must be accompanied by other rituals also. And so the four, those rituals performed in those 4 months. Without, in those 4 months, during Chaturmasya time, the 4 months, monsoon time in India, and without following what should be followed that time, the person simply practice only Agnihotram. Then that Agnihotram becomes what? Agnihotram divada Chaturmasya Vrata Puja, etc. Achaturmasyam Agnihotram will not be effective, will not be as effective as it should be. అచాతుర్మాస్యం. చత్వారః మాసాః మీన్స్ ఫోర్ మంత్స్. మేక్ ఇట్ అ కాంపౌండ్ వర్డ్, చతుర్మాసాః. ఓకే, ఫోర్ మంత్స్. చాతుర్మాస్యం మీన్స్ అ పూజ పర్టైనింగ్ టు ది రిచువల్స్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఇన్ స్పెసిఫిక్ ఫోర్ మంత్స్. ఎనిథింగ్ పర్టైనింగ్ టు దోస్ ఫోర్ మంత్స్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ చాతుర్మాస్యం. చాతుర్మాస్య వ్రతం, చాతుర్మాస్య రిచువల్, చాతుర్మాస్య పూజ. చతుర్షు మాసేషు క్రియమాణ యజ్ఞ ఆర్ అనుష్ఠీయమాన వ్రత చాతుర్మాస్య వ్రత. ఎనిథింగ్ పర్టైనింగ్ టు దోస్ ఫోర్ మంత్స్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ చాతుర్మాస్య. Now, which are those 4 months? July, August, September, October. I'm just giving you approximately, not accurately, approximately like that. July, maybe you can say mid-July or beginning of July. July, August, September, October. These 4 months said to be Chaturmasya. Chatvarahamasaha. The 4 months where sannyasis remain in one place and do their specific pujas, japa, etc. They follow their sannyasi dharma, and the grihasthas also have to do certain things same time. So, there are certain rituals performed once in 4 months, which means 3 times a year a person must perform a specific ritual, which means once in 4 months, in 12 months has to do 3 times once in 4 months for a grihastha. What are those rituals, how they should be performed, etc., we do not know. I mean, we are not expected to know, but we can understand the householder who performs Agnihotram, his Agnihotram must be along with the performance of other rituals to be occasionally performed karmas, naimittika karmas. Nitya karma must be followed, performed along with the naimittika karmas, occasionally performed rituals. Then if a person doesn't follow Chaturmasyam ritual, but he only performs Agnihotra, means it will not be as effective as it should be. Achaturmasyam. Then next is Anagrayanam Agnihotram. Agnihotra ritual performed without performing Agrayanam. Agrayanam is a specific ritual puja performed at the time of harvests, during harvest season. See, it's a very sensitive thing. You must remember, in India, we do think, we definitely consciously do not want to cause pain to plants. That is why when anything which is fresh, we don't go and really cause pain. Before plucking even a flower, there's a way how you pluck the flower without breaking anything. How you should pluck a flower from the plant. And then even the vegetables when you cut also, we only cut ripe vegetables. Or even the paddy or wheat and all, when they harvest, only when about to fall, they dry. That's when they harvest. Okay, even then, you're very conscious of not causing pain to the living being called plants. Therefore, to ask a gratitude, they do a ritual as a prayaschitta karma, not to cause any pain, not to incur any papam. And they worship the plants, they worship the sun, and they do pray. Then only they offer oblations. Then they
do the harvest, begin the harvest. So a special ritual performed during the harvest season is called Agrayanam. And if the person is a Nityagnihotri, if he performs Nityagnihotram, but he does not care to perform Agrayanam at the time of, even if we are not farmers, even if we are not agriculturalists, still all of us are opposed to Agrayanam. That's why in South India, of course all over India, the Sankramanam, Sankranti day, Sankranti celebration is actually substitute of Agrayanam only. All of us worship Surya Bhagavan, worship water, worship the elements, worship the, and then we keep all freshly grown grains, offer, and we do that puja. Every Sankranti, Sankramanam, because old still, the new grains come. We, houses are clean and paints, we paint the house, everything, lot of things we do. And throw away the old unwanted stuff. All the house will be clearing their old stuff, all the books, their unwanted stuff will be thrown out of the house. Okay? Parayana Pohi. Just a Bohi Pandi. Like that we say, that substitute we have Agrayanam. But actually Agrayanam is a ritual, Vedic ritual. Performed at the time of harvest season. So here, the Agnihotri, if he does not bother to care to perform the Agrayanam ritual, but he only practices Agnihotra, means Anagrayanam Agnihotram also will not be as very effective. Anagrayanam Agnihotram. Now, then Atithi Varjitam, very important. Now, the person who performs Agnihotra Karma, suppose he does not have guests at all to his house. In fact, when you perform a big puja or a small puja, we always invite people to have prasad. So, in fact, feeding people is a karma anga, is part of the ritual. The prasadam should be given. People must be fed. Without feeding, without giving food to guests, and you will perform that ritual, any ritual puja will be incomplete. That's why a cook must cook lot of food. Annam bahu kurvita. We are going to see Taittiriya Upanishad. So we should cook a lot, we should share a lot of food. Food must be abundantly given. Of course, I'm not saying you should put on weight and all, eating a lot, but what the idea is, giving food, we call prasadam as part of the ritual is very important. Because offering food is what? Part of the ritual. Until you feed the people, the puja is still incomplete. Puja gets complete only when you feed the people. Therefore, atithi varjitam, without having entertained guests at home, without having fed our guests at home, who is Atithi? The person who suddenly comes and knocks at your door without sending any message on WhatsApp or email or phone call, no mail or letter also, suddenly he'll come and knock at the door. You can't say, I have only 2 bedrooms, I can't have you. No. You will make some space for that person will not expect demand, oh, I want nice bedroom. No. He just walks into your house, he can have shower, he can have nice good food, he can still have a good comfortable place somewhere in your house. We don't care for how many bedrooms we have, but we always have many people in India. Okay? That is okay here. That's why Atithihi is the one who comes and knocks at your door without informing his day of arrival is Tithim Anuktva. Without telling you the Tithi, when he comes, oh, I'll come on Panchami Tithi, I'll come on Shashti Tithi. Without telling Tithi, he comes. He is called Atithihi, a guest. And guests come and we happily feed them. So we have them, we make them feel comfortable. We give whatever is best possible for our part. We can't give them what we do not have. The best of our ability, whatever within our limbs, whatever is possible, we can make wholeheartedly, we can look after people. and that is called Atithi. Suppose Agnihotri, Nityagnihotri does not have any Atithi at all in his house, never feeds people, then Atithi Varjitam, Varjitam means devoid of. The house where Nityagnihotram is performed without having entertained Atithi at all in his house. Devoid of Atithi Puja. Look, you know, feeding, receiving them, making them feel comfortable, making them feel welcomed, and giving, sharing what we have, place or food or anything. And, you know, that is called form, there's also Atithi Puja, form of worship. If there's no Atithi Puja in the house, the only param Agnihotram, his Agnihotram will not be effective. So Atithi Varjitam Agnihotram, yes, yeah. Anagrayanam Agnihotram, yes, yeah. Apounamasam Agnihotram, yes, yeah. Adarsham Agnihotram, yes, yeah. Tasya. What will happen for him? We'll see. One more thing. Ahutam means what? Again, if the oblations offered are not offered properly, ahutam means without have, huta means offered. Ahutam, without having offered appropriate oblations properly, ahutam. Then that Agnihotra, I'm also performing Agnihotra karma, but things are not offered properly, then ahutam. Then, Avaishvadevam Agnihotram. We're going to finish it soon, don't worry. Avaishvadevam. Ahutam Agnihotram. Then we have Avaishvadevam. See, Vaishvadeva means offering, in fact, involving oneself in Bhuta Yajna. The word Vaishvadeva stands for Bhuta Yajna. Bhuta Yajna means offering food for other living beings, animals, plants, etc. So, Bhuta Yajna, suppose a person is Agnihotri, he performs Agnihotram ritual, but he does not feed other animals, he is not kind to other animals, you know. And then, such a Yajna, see, not being compassionate, kind, and taking care of, being conscious of not hurting animals and birds or other plants, even plants. Would you somebody, I remember him telling, suppose if we go and stand under the tree, sometimes, like how we scribble when you're talking to somebody on the phone mechanically, sometimes we pull the leaves from the tree. And we were not conscious. We must be very conscious of what we are doing. Sometimes mechanical we are. Some used to come on, somebody comes and stands next to you, pull your hair like this. How do you feel? You feel irritated. You won't like it. Similarly, if you are standing next to a tree or an animal, consciously not causing any pain. You unconsciously not cause any pain to plants also to, apart from the time you are plucking something, that's why we are consciously, we do things. Even other animals, not causing pain, not hurting, and being compassionate, kind to the living being, other creatures, not only human beings, and also feeding them if they require food also. No bird comes and asks you for bhiksham dehi. But still, if you happen to see, then you can really feed. Otherwise, you should go out of the way to searching for birds somewhere on the, they don't care. But at least not being conscious of other living creatures' lives. It's called Bhuta Yajna. So, if a person who performs Agnihotram must be a follower of Panchamahayajnas, which means he must be conscious of other Bhuta, other living beings also. So, Vaishvadeva means offering food and shelter and caring for other living creatures. We are not expected to give, you know, a place for animals like lion and elephant. But what I'm saying, and this Avaishwa Devam, Vishwe Devaha means all, seeing all beings as Bhagavan. There is Avaishwa Devam Agrihotram. Then also will not be effective. Avaishwa Devam Agnihotram. Okay, Avaishwa Devam Agnihotram. Ahutam Avaishwa Devam. Then Avidinahutam, one more thing. Avidinahutam. Suppose there is a rule, there is a regulation, there is a stipulation, how it should be performed. So without following that stipulation, just I say that you perform Agnihotra, but you do Agnihotra the way you want to do it. It means improperly done, improperly offered, which is not done in keeping with the Vedic stipulation. Agnihotram ritual, which is not performed in keeping with the Vedic injunction, that is what avidhinahutam, not vidhinahutam means as per the instructions. Avidhinahutam, which is agrihotram, performed, practiced, not in keeping with the instruction, is called avidhinahutam agrihotram, will not be effective. Finished. Okay. Suppose your person's agrihotram is devoid of all these things. Apurnamasam. First, Adarsham, Apurnamasam. See that now all how many? All adjectives for Agnihotram only. Adarsham, Apurnamasam, Achaturmasyam, Agrayanam, Atithi Varjitam, Ahutam, Avaishwadevam, Avidinahutam. 8 factors are involved there. Yasya Agnihotram. Whose Agnihotram is devoid of all these 8 important factors. Asya, for such a person, asaptaman lokan hinasti. Very frightening consequences mentioned. Don't get frightened. We are not performing, so we don't need to worry. But still it said, asaptaman lokan hinasti. See, 7, not only this one generation, 7 generations. Asaptaman lokan means 7 generations of his people. Hinasti means it destroys. How will it destroy? Not destroy, just to say it will not be effective. So you immediately don't say that, oh, it's really frightening. No, not him. Not destroy. Which means, asaptaman lokan hinasti. It destroys the 7 generations. Because the performer of Agnihotram does not follow the rules and regulations, he, when he without doing, he actually there's a violation on his part. Therefore, it will destroy 7 generations. So how should we take it? We should be frightened or not? No. What he says is, the ritual, when you spend time, energy, it involves also some money, it must be effective. We should not simply mechanically, carelessly do. When we do any puja, we must have 100% shraddha and we must do it with reverence. Then it will be effective. So mainly, we must all these 8 factors through the what Shastra says is, we must consciously live a life of Panchamahayagyas. Consciously live a life of karma yoga. We must consciously live a life of dharma values, universal values, for which we must be highly prayerful and seek Bhagavan's ways to be able to live a life of dharma, then any ritual performed, any worship performed will be effective. Otherwise, it will not be effective. If it is not effective, don't complain that Bhagavan does not really, all rituals are effective, not effective, useless, waste, no, don't say that. If you do not enjoy the benefit of anything you do, you have not done it properly. That's all. So, just to emphasize the fact, Shastra tells here, may one perform any worship, any puja with Shraddha. One line if you want to say, we must live a life consciously of, realize a life of values. Or where Panchamaha Yajnas are followed. Ahimsa Paramo Dharmaha. That is what is one small, one line of teaching is that. That is what is emphasized here. If without following all these things, if a person spends a big, people do big puja with lots of flowers and things like that, but there's no Shraddha in what? Other things. Then such pujas will not be effective. So Agnihotram will not be effective. To say that, to make people have Shraddha, to emphasize Shraddha, just to put it as though it is frightening, it says it will destroy, improperly performed ritual will destroy 7 generations to come. Asaptaman lokan hinasti means don't get frightened. Okay, just emphasis for us to have Shraddha. See, it's all for very beautiful teaching. Okay, now I'm going to stop the class.
A minute. What is the word for one generation second. Here?
Now I got my... tell me.
What is the word for generation here? What is the Sanskrit word for generation?
Loka, loka. Saptaman, see, sapta lokaha, 7 generations, not words. Be careful, sometimes some words, they have their own general literal meanings, specific meanings in a given context. The contextual meaning of the word lokas, asaptaman lokan means 7, not 7 worlds, 7 generations. No, hinasti, it destroys. I told you already, we should not get frightened. It's like exaggeration. What it emphasizes is, we must have Shraddha. The ritual you perform will not be effective. So it's a waste of time, energy and money. Because performance of Vedic rituals involves expenditure also. Not just your time, not just your energy. It involves everything. So, to make it effective, you must follow Panchamaha Yajnas. And that's why eco-friendly life. People talk about eco-friendly life. Reduce the global warming and natural calamities. Living in harmony with universal order means living a Vedic way of life itself is what? Living an eco-friendly life. Not simply not using plastic alone. Eco-friendly means you're friendly with the ecosystem. The ecosystem, the whole, all beings. How conscious we are of not hurting other beings. How conscious we are of not hurting other living beings. People come to Shastra class till they come and they listen, but still go back. Oh, I had to cook chicken for my son. Then what can I say? I can't say anything. How much Shastra has gone into our heads? I don't eat, but I cook for my food. Why? Shastra students must make efforts. We can't tell other people. Shastra students must make efforts. You can't go and convert somebody overnight. At least you, in Pooja Swamiji, when he came to London, he said, when people are here with us, at least when they are with us, let them all eat like us. So he said, no, even don't make garlic and like that. Anyway, it's all different things. So I'll see you soon.
another 15 minutes for Sanskrit class.
Thank you so many.
Thank you so many.